Blueprint Reviews.
It's that time again when we educate you on the cultural things that you might have missed, the essential catch-up for your weekend, whether it's on the screen or on the page. And to kick us off today, we have TV critic from Fairfax, Debbie Anker. Debbie, thanks for coming in.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Now, I know you've chosen a big and mighty catch-up for us today.
I have. I've chosen Mad Men, one of my favourite drama series of the last decade, probably, which recently finished its sort of seven-season run. And I think as one of the most exciting and unpredictable drama series that I've seen possibly ever. But for those who haven't seen it, it's a period drama. It's set between the early 60s and early 1970s, primarily at an advertising agency, Madison Avenue, New York Advertising Agency, hence Mad Men, although the women in this series are just as interesting as the men. And it's built around basically a brooding male protagonist called Don Draper, played by John Hamm, and he's a family man with a dark secret in his past who's a whiz at his job, but his private life is a mess.
Look, I'm a massive fan of Mad Men too, and have been all through the seven seasons. And part of what I like about it is it's not just another anti-hero drama. As you say, the cast of characters are pretty amazing. Talk through, people who haven't heard it, who are your personal favourites in the show?
I've found myself really drawn to the female characters because what you get in this setting of moving through the 1960s in a massive time of social change is women who are very much divided between working women who start in the secretarial pool and may have aspirations beyond it, like Peggy, who starts as a secretary, played by Elizabeth Moss, or Joan, who is initially in charge of all the secretaries, office manager, but also Don's wife, Betty, the stay-at-home mother of two children who's essentially trapped in her house.
Now, there are lots of pleasures in the show. It's an incredibly stylish show, apart from anything else. It's a period piece and has loving detail about the period. But would you have come in and recommended this if you'd felt, and we're not going to give away any endings here, people, but if you'd felt it hadn't ended at seven seasons well, would you be holding it up as one of the greats anyway?
Yeah, I would have said just watch it for the very first episode, which is one of the great starts to a series that I can remember. There has been lots of debate as it's gone on about, you know, oh, it's lost it in season three or season five isn't as good. I think it was just the most perfectly shaped auteurist work by Matthew Weiner, who knew from the beginning exactly how he wanted it to look, what he wanted the tone to be like, and I think he ended it perfectly. But as you said, one of the great joys is just looking at it. There's nothing accidental in this. Every brooch, every ashtray, every chair is thought about, every costume looks fantastic. It's just got a great sense of the period.
So we hear again and again that this is a golden age of TV, and you mentioned the word auteur there. Weiner is one of those classic showrunner creators, and he cut his teeth on The Sopranos. If people were fans of The Sopranos, do you think it follows that Mad Men will be for them?
I think it's a very different sort of show, but in the same way, it's shaped by a very distinctive sensibility. And you can pick up very early if this is a show for you or not because of the tone. It's got a very distinctive tone. It's brooding, it's dark, and it is unpredictable all the way through. You never know where an episode's going to go or which character it will follow, and you have no idea where a season will go.
Its capacity for weirdness is one of my favourite things about it. Debbie Anker, you have given me the desire to go back and do all seven seasons again, but for people who haven't seen it, it's available on video on demand platforms and on DVD. And they can catch up.
Yep, it's all on Netflix or it's on DVD, apart from the last half of the last season, which is, I think, still Foxtel.
You know what? You've got six seasons of 10, 11 episodes to get through to begin with, so that'll do you. Thank you very much, Debbie Anker. We've got down the line now Fiona Steger from Avid Reader Bookshop in Brisbane. Fiona, you've brought us a period piece as well.
I have, coincidentally. I've bought a book that was originally published in 1962. It's called The Delinquents by Creanna Rowan. And it's a story, it's a love story, essentially. It's about Brownie and Lola. We first meet them and they're young in Bundaberg in the 1950s. They're both from very poor, struggling families. Lola lives in a hotel with her mum, and Brownie lives with his mother and a series of kind of de facto lodgers. So their homes are blighted by alcoholism, abandonment, violence, but they find love together until Lola's mum whisks her away and Brownie joins the merchant navy.
Now, Fiona, The Delinquents is an all-but-forgotten classic. I say all-but because, of course, in the 80s it was made into a film starring Kylie Minogue.
It did, and that was in about 1989. And it's such a shame because I missed it. It was one I've read a huge number of my Australian women classics, but I missed this one, and I can't believe I did because it's such a powerful story about true love and what women's lives were really like in the 50s. It's a very frank look at sexuality, women's fertility, homelessness, and what it was like to be poor, and the very few things that you had going for you, apart from the fact that these two young people find love, that their lives crisscross and it takes a long time before they're finally together. I loved it so much.
Fiona, I'm thrilled to hear that level of enthusiasm for it. But the authenticity test, you're a Queenslander, but Creanna Rowan was a pseudonym for a woman called Deirdre Cash, who grew up in Melbourne. She was a Melburnian. Does she get Queensland right?
She did. She got everything about it. She got the cliquey snobbishness. She got what a police state it was. I just think she captures so much. Quite a bit of it is set in West End and Spring Hill. I live in West End, and she's captured that as well. Like, I think she's done such a wonderful job.
Well, for a book that was first published in 1962, it's lovely that it exists again. Text Publishing have brought it out as part of their classics list and reissued it with an introduction by Queensland writer Nick Earls.
Yes, and the good thing that Nick does is that he compares it to some of the other Queensland classics, and that's David Maloof's 12 Edmundston Street and Hugh Lund's Over the Top with Jim, and you couldn't get more different book. The Delinquents is just harder, grittier. It's about bodgies and widgies, and it's just, you know, it just says something that I haven't seen or read in a book for a very long time.
Fiona Steger, it's always a good Saturday morning when Blueprint for Living gets to include the words bodgies and widgies, so thank you so much for that. That's The Delinquents by Creanna Rowan. It's out now from Text Publishing through their classics list. You're listening to Blueprint for Living with me, Michael Williams, here on RN and across the Asia Pacific on Radio Australia.